Live on the telephone with us this morning from IU Northwest, it's the adjunct astronomy instructor, and if that's not enough, he's the director of the Maryville Community Planetarium. It's our good friend Greg Williams. Greg, good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful today. Very excited about the eclipse.
I bet. Party hats, streamers, noisemakers, the whole nine yards. Is this New Year's Eve in your field?
Well, except for instead of hats and noisemakers, we've got telescopes and all kinds of viewing equipment. It's a different kind of party.
Safety equipment, all the other things that go along with that. And Greg joins us this morning. He's going to help us debunk some myths. He's going to help us be sure we're safe during all of this. But first of all, the question that everybody has on their mind, and I jokingly, I'm a little bit of a card. I'm not a stand-up comedian, and I don't try to play one on the radio. I was joking about this 4 or 6 weeks ago as the LA Times had a headline about, oh, geez, here it comes. And I'm like, what do you mean here it comes? It's a solar eclipse. Don't these things happen all the time?
They do. They happen about twice a year. The problem is that they're only visible from a very narrow part of the Earth. If you can imagine taking a piece of cooked spaghetti and laying it on an Earth globe, only where that piece of spaghetti falls will people see a total eclipse. So it's a very narrow swath of area that gets to see the total eclipse. And so the problem is not that eclipses don't happen very often. They don't happen near where we live very often. Oftentimes people will be traveling to faraway locations, islands, out in the ocean, to be able to observe an eclipse. But this time the eclipse has come right to the United States, traveling from Oregon to South Carolina and passing just to the south and west of Indiana.
And why does this happen so infrequently? Is it simply math and how everything revolves around and orbits and the such?
The eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun. The moon's a relatively small body. It casts a very narrow shadow. It's that's that piece of spaghetti that we laid across our Earth globe. And so it's a very narrow shadow, and only if you fall underneath that shadow do you see the sun completely covered. Now, in fact, all the United States is going to get a partial solar eclipse. So if you are not in an area where the total eclipse is going to be visible, like here in Indiana, we're going to see a partial eclipse. But it's rare because you're casting a very narrow shadow made by the moon as it passes between the Earth and the sun.
Now, we'll get into what we need to look at for the eclipse from our standpoint. But when you talk about total eclipse, if it's a total eclipse, if it's 90%, is it 80%? Is there that much of a noticeable difference?
Yes. When you experience a total eclipse, it becomes night for a short length of time. There are parts of Kentucky, southern Illinois, central Kentucky that are going to experience about two and a half minutes of darkness as if it were night, and that's going to be occurring in the middle of the afternoon. And so that is a stark event that has an effect on people who observe it to see the sky go completely dark as if it's nighttime and in the middle of the day. We're not going to have quite that effect. Where you are in Bloomington, you're going to have about 94% of the sun covered by
the
moon.
Not bad.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, but you'd be surprised how bright that 6% of the sun will be.
And I think that was the question I was asking you, because I don't think people realize that. You say, well, 94% is almost 100, so it can't be that much of a difference, but it is a big difference.
Yeah, it's going to be like an overcast day. It's not going to be like nighttime. Up here, I had somebody asking me if they were going to need to turn on the parking lot lights during the eclipse. It's like, no, it's not going to get that dark here because we're not going to be experiencing a total eclipse. So it should be like an overcast day. It will get noticeably darker, but it's not going to be like nighttime. It's more going to be like, you know, if you had like a storm coming in and the sky gets dark, it's going to be like that. So there is a tremendous difference between a total eclipse and even, you know, 99% of the sun being covered by the moon.
The director of the Maryville Community Planetarium is Greg Williams. He also is an adjunct astronomy instructor at IU Northwest. He joins us this morning. So the obvious question or the obvious point is everybody is heading to the spaghetti that covers it 100% because you can't get it anywhere else.
You know, for this eclipse, that path passes, as I said, from Oregon to South Carolina, goes through central Missouri, passes through southern Illinois, western Kentucky, central Tennessee. Those states get the good eclipse this year. However, you probably already know that in the year 2024, there's going to be a total eclipse passing over Indiana on a line roughly from Vincennes through Bloomington to Newcastle. And so in the year 2024, Bloomington is going to be experiencing a total eclipse of the sun. And you can rub this in on your Illinois and Kentucky friends. Our total eclipse is going to last for 4 minutes.
Well, that, yeah.
Their total eclipse is only lasting for 2 or 2.5 minutes.
Take that. All right, so roll on 2024. When we talk about the eclipse and how the time is affected there, these people are traveling for miles and miles around, whether it's to go to mountains in Oregon or to go to southern Illinois, or what is it, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, has had a whole year planning process into this. We're talking about just barely 3 minutes, right?
Yes, but they're expecting a huge number of people coming in. You know, anybody who's listening who has not made arrangements to go to the eclipse viewing area where they're going to have the total eclipse, who doesn't have relatives who live down there, who have not made any plans, do not think that at the last minute you can drive down there and observe the total eclipse. It's probably not a good idea. There are no hotels available.
It's unbelievable.
Worried about people running out of food and running out of gasoline, traffic jams. So if you've not already made prior arrangements, you should probably not be driving down into that area. You know, you're going to have a tremendous eclipse. As I said, 94% of the sun is being covered. We haven't had an eclipse like that in Indiana since 1994. We had a solar eclipse that crossed our state. And so this is an excellent opportunity to observe an eclipse. But as I said, if you're not already down in Illinois or Kentucky, I wouldn't be making plans to travel there today.
The traffic was awful yesterday, so I could only imagine what the last minute, and again, don't do it. Speaking of safety issues, when we deal with the Great American Solar Eclipse, a couple things we need to worry about. Number one, state police, local police, everybody else is saying, please, when this happens, don't pull your car over, don't do anything else, just have a plan moving forward, but your plan better involve something more than your camera phone, because that's really not the safest way to view this, right?
You do need to exercise caution. First of all, this is an event that's going to occur over a period of almost 3 hours. It's not like an instantaneous event. Yes, there is a moment that is the maximum eclipse, but if you are observing the eclipse 2 or 3 minutes before or 2 or 3 minutes after that maximum time at 2:25 p.m., you know, you're still going to see most of the sun that we're going to see covered. So it's not like you can only have one moment that you can go out there and see it. This is an event that's going to occur over about 2 hours and 45 minutes or so. You want to be able to, if you can, if the weather conditions allow, observe the eclipse at the beginning around 12:57 when the moon just begins to cover the edge of the sun. You want to try to observe it near the maximum time, which is 2:25. But as I said, if you're out there, 5 minutes before that or 5 minutes after, the difference between seeing 93% of the sun being covered and 94% of the sun being covered, you're not going to notice
close
that difference.
Close enough. Now,
you don't have to, at the very moment of the eclipse, think that that's your only time to run out there and observe it. You've got several hours to be able to observe this eclipse.
Greg, I have two small children. One is 7 and one is 3. And if I say don't look at the sun or don't touch the stove, guess what's going to happen?
They're immediately going to do that.
That's exactly right. So how do we get people to buy in that this is very important, that you just don't do it? I know it's late. Are there glasses still available? Can I make the shoebox thing with the aluminum foil? Are these options I still have today?
If you can find the eclipse glasses, congratulations. We've sold out here in Maryville for a long time. You should avoid looking at the sun anytime. The sun is no more dangerous today than it is on any other day. The difference is that people have a reason to look at the sun today, but it's actually no more dangerous today than it is any other day. If you can imagine taking a magnifying glass like you might use to read a newspaper, and going outside on a sunny day and holding it and putting a piece of paper and focusing the light from the sun on that piece of paper, you can cause that piece of paper to burn. And that's what happens inside your eye if you stare at the sun.
Ouch.
The lens in the front of your eyeball acts as a magnifying glass lens, and it focuses the light on the cells in the back of your retina, the back of your eyeball, which is the retina, and it can permanently damage those cells. So that's why you don't want to be looking at the sun. You know, the longer you look at it, the more damage is going to be done, just like that piece of paper. So you don't want to do that. If you have eclipse viewers, that's great. If you know how to make a box camera, a pinhole viewer, I'm not going to describe how to make it because you can make it wrong, and sometimes people think, oh, if I look through the pinhole in the aluminum foil, it's safe to look at the sun. And what I would suggest is if you don't have solar glasses and you can't attend an observing session being sponsored by people who know how to observe the sun safely, you're probably best looking at the eclipse on the internet or on TV. I've had people ask me, do you need to wear solar glasses when you watch the eclipse on a television monitor or a computer monitor? And the answer is no. Those kind of monitors are not capable of reproducing the brightness of the sun. There are no dangerous rays that can come out of your computer screen or your television set to hurt you. So you don't need solar glasses to look at the eclipse on your computer screen or on the internet or on your television.
That's excellent advice. Greg Williams is our guest this morning. He's the director of the Maryville Community Planetarium and an adjunct astronomy instructor at IU Northwest. So if we don't have our glasses, the safest bet is to watch the internet. Somebody takes a picture and the flash hits. Boy, I can't see for 5 minutes. I'm not taking my chances on any of this. So we've got our internet options. We've got our outside options. If you have the proper box made and if you have the proper proper authorized glasses, for lack of a better word, what do you think the reaction to this is going to be? Because it's been kind of, I don't want to say hyped up for the last month or so, but are people going to be, what do you think is going to be the outcome? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Well, I think people will be excited to see it if, in fact, the weather doesn't cause the problems. The one thing that's likely to disappoint people is if it's cloudy and they're not able to observe it. That would be a disappointment. You know, we're going to be able to see images from NASA and from across the country of people in the total eclipse area. It's not quite the same as if you don't see it yourself. So I think the possibly the biggest disappointment we might have or biggest letdown would be if it's in fact cloudy and we don't get a good view of it. But other than that, I think most people, if they get a chance to actually observe the eclipse, I think they'll be impressed with it. What I'd tell people is to observe your environment during the eclipse. How dark do you think it gets during the eclipse? Do you think it gets cooler? Ask yourself, is the temperature going down as more of the sun gets covered? Look underneath trees. The leaves on trees will create natural pinholes, and underneath the trees, on the ground, you'll see images of a crescent sun, and it's very cool. You may see hundreds of images of the eclipse on the ground underneath a tree. So you can observe this eclipse not only by looking up into the sky, but by looking down on the ground underneath trees and shrubs. And that is very cool to observe. Even if you don't have eclipse glasses, you can look at the images of the sun being projected underneath a tree. Normally when the sun is round and whole, you don't notice this, but when it becomes a crescent shape, it becomes noticeable when you look underneath trees.
Absolutely fascinating. I would never have thought that. Introverts for around the world unite on that one, looking down and making sure you see that. But that's a safe way to do it as well. Keeps you from looking skyward. And again, Greg, fantastic information this morning. Absolutely great job. We know you're very busy today. We appreciate the time you took with us. Enjoy the Great American Solar Eclipse. And will you put us down for 2024? Because I'm calling you back.
All right. I'll be with you.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a great eclipse. It was great.
Thanks.